of the tender. The Lord said this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I see an inner logic in the lectionary of the church's liturgical cycle, in which the Sunday of Zacchaeus, which was last Sunday, is followed by this Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee as we open the Lenten Triodion. This Lenten business of attaining the paschal joy of Zacchaeus is a very delicate thing. Very dicey is what I'm trying to say. It's hard. Not as easy as one might think. In our zeal, we can take up the ascetic disciplines of Lent as our cross. We can intensify our self-restraint, our fasting, our almsgiving, our hospitality, our prayers, our spiritual reading, stillness, sleeping on the ground, vigils, or any of the other things which characterize a life lived according to God. And according to St. Maximus the Confessor, still completely miss the point. So much so, says St. Maximus, that these pious acts not only do not bring about our salvation, but they actually bring about our condemnation. This is because we would do these disciplines in the service of the self-esteem or pride that drives virtually everything that we do and say. Quoting again from St. Maximus, pierced by the nail of our self-esteem, we pursue virtue, not for God's glory, but for our own. Blind to our narcissism, we take up the ascetic life of the church for the sake of our own reputation, believing that as others are impressed with us, and as we are impressed with ourselves, so God is impressed with us and approves of us. In our Orthodox tradition, we call this self-love that clothes itself with religious zeal. We call it prelest, spiritual pride. Prelest, spiritual pride, is very subtle. It's very near to the ascetic believer. Again, quoting from St. Maximus, the demons of pride, of self-esteem, desire for popularity and hypocrisy, they never act by trying to dampen the ardor of the virtuous man. Instead, they cunningly reproach him for his shortcomings where the virtues are concerned, and they suggest that he intensify his efforts, and they encourage him in his struggles. They do this in order to entice him to give full attention to them. And in this way, they make him lose a proper balance and moderation. And they lead him imperceptibly to a destination other than the one to which he thought he was going. St. Maximus continues, neither do these demons hate self-restraint. They do not hate fasting. They do not hate almsgiving, hospitality, the singing of songs, spiritual readings, stillness, the most sublime doctrines. They don't despise any of these things that characterize a life lived according to God, so long as the aim and purpose of the person doing these things is intended in their direction. In other words, even our religious discipline can become a mask for our self-esteem, our pride, so that even our religious discipline can become that which separates us from God. But the Church opens the Lenten Triodion with this gospel of the publican and the Pharisee tells us, I think, that spiritual pride is the root of all that is earthly in us. It's the root of all that is earthly in us. And it is this spiritual pride that we are striving to put to death by the power of Christ's cross. Quoting again from St. Maximus. Self-love, he says, is the origin and the mother of evil. When this is eradicated, when self-love is eradicated, all the things which derive from it are eradicated as well. For when self-love is absent, not the slightest trace or form of evil can exist in any way at all. In the first week of Great Lent, we will be reading from the prophet Isaiah, and we will hear this. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. He's addressing Israel. Attend to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. He's addressing Israel. Of what value to me is the abundance of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I am full of whole burnt offerings of rams. I delight not in the fat of lambs, and the blood of bulls and goats. Neither shall you come with these to appear before me. For who has required these things at your hands? Though you bring fine flour, it is vain. Incense is an abomination to me. I cannot bear your new moons and your Sabbaths and the great day, your fasting, your rest from work, your Sabbaths, your new moons also, and your feasts, my soul hates. You have become loathsome to me. Think of the Canaanite woman. You are dogs. You are defiled. I will no more pardon your sin. When you stretch forth your hand, I will turn away mine eyes from you. And though you make many supplications, I will not hearken to you, for your hands are full of blood. Again, we think of the Canaanite woman. For you draw near to me with your lips, says the Lord to Israel, but in your hearts you are far from me. What's precious to the Lord, obviously, is not ascetic feats. What's precious to the Lord is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart he does not despise. So as we've drawn near to the gates of the great fast, don't get too nervous, it's still a couple of weeks away. In fact, this week is a fast-free week. I'm going to enjoy this week. So as we draw near to the gates of the great fast, the Church has been showing us how to prepare the way of the Lord in our soul. Beloved faithful, that way of the Lord leads us inward into the wilderness of our soul and into the tomb of our heart. That's where we're trying to get to. If we desire to fulfill our baptismal oath to unite ourselves to Christ, it means that we must unite with him in the tomb of our heart. And in the power of his life-creating death, put to death what is earthly in us. And that's not our bodies. Our bodies is not what's earthly in us. It's our self-love. And the reason that we fast is because our self-love expresses itself in our gluttony, our love for food. I'm a glutton. And in our lust and in our greed. That's why we fast. by engaging the fast, by depriving our stomachs, and also our eyes and our ears, our hands and our feet. We're not trying to destroy the body, we're trying to cleanse the body. We're not trying to destroy our heart, we're trying to cleanse our heart, our life. We're trying to put to death this self-love, this seed of the serpent that grows in our heart and separates us from God in so many subtle and hidden ways. Our bodies are not evil. They are holy. For they were made to be temples of God. At the heart of our fast is our heart. In other words, the eye that is the lamp of our body. By the outward disciplines of the fast, we descend into our closet to grow quiet inside. It's not just fasting, it's fasting and prayer. Through the fast, our prayer becomes more effective. Because now through the fast, we are being helped through prayer to enter into the closet of our heart and to get quiet inside. This is what I have in mind when I talk about going into the wilderness of our souls. As we cut out all the distractions and the diversions that we like to feed on, what do we discover? Do we not discover an inner emptiness and loneliness? And then we begin to see in this inner stillness, we begin to see the thorns and the thistles that have grown up from the ground of our soul, the inner and the outer habits of thought and behavior by which we seek to escape from our emptiness or to forget the disappointments, the failures, the guilt and the shame from indiscretions and unconfessed transgressions that haunt us. Our resolve to keep the fast serves our resolves to let ourselves feel our inner hunger and thirst, and to work hard by the power of Christ's cross to fill that hunger and thirst, not with the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but with the healing word of God that is carried in the prayers given us by the church. This is the word of God that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that if we adhere to it, if we adhere to the word of God by eating it and drinking it assiduously, that word of God leads us down into the wilderness of our soul, down to the division of our soul and spirit until it pierces the tomb of our heart, where we see beneath the inflated emptiness of our ego, we see that we are but dust and ashes, and we find ourselves saying with the Canaanite woman, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog." And we find ourselves saying with the publican in this morning's gospel, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." For we see that we are in need of God, and that apart from God, we are dust and ashes. It is this self-love, together with all the wounds and traumas and the behaviors that go with it, that it has produced over the years. This is what's earthly in us. And this is what we are putting to death by the cross, the church's ascetic disciplines. This is the life-creating death of Christ that justifies us. In other words, it is this death that cleanses us from the death that puts us to death, so that we begin to come to life in the likeness of Christ's holy resurrection. And I think that the likeness of Christ's holy resurrection may be the joy and the light that we begin to taste even now in this body of death, as soon as we take up the work of faith and deny ourselves to follow Christ into the wilderness of our soul all the way into the tomb of her heart. Once a priest was asked, why do the Orthodox faithful, why do they put up with all of this agony of fasting and whatnot? And the answer was, because of the joy of the resurrection that is carried in the cross. We begin to taste that joy even now. Even now, at the beginning of Great Lent. We get but a taste in this joy of the good things that God does not withhold from those who love him and who would deny themselves for his sake and who would follow him, seeking to lose their life for his sake. Yet even this taste that we are granted to receive is enough to begin the transformation of our souls. And I believe that we can say it is the deepening joy that comes from a deepening sense of one's own unworthiness, a growing desire to decrease and not to increase, a growing desire to be counted as nothing and not as something in the eyes of the world. This may be the mark that we are being justified in the eyes of God. In other words, we are being raised to life in the holy resurrection of Christ, even as we are taking up his cross. Let us therefore be resolved to take up the fast, brothers and sisters, each of us according to our strength and our circumstances. Remember what I was reading from St. Maximus before. Don't take on more than you can do. Find the size of the cross that you can handle and do it. As Father Roman would say, don't do nothing. Do something. But do something that has to do with food. Giving up a radio show or something like that, candy, that misses the point altogether. It's about putting to death our self-love, and our self-love expresses itself fundamentally in our gluttony, in our love for food. And so that's why we fast. It expresses itself in the readiness with which we are diverted, you know, from prayer, and give ourselves so easily and so quickly to the diversions of the world. And so the fast is conducted in prayer, where we have to fight. We have to fight against our desire to go, you know, enjoy the sweet things of this world. And we have to fight ourselves to bring ourselves into the closet of our heart, into the wilderness of the soul, and to confront our loneliness and our emptiness, but to confront it in the church, where it can be filled with the light and the joy of Christ. So let us be resolved to take up the fast, each of us according to our strength, not to be pleasing to God, but for the sake of putting to death my stinking self-love. And let's do so in the sincere prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ may help us to lose our life, to deny ourselves, to deny our ego, that we may gain our life with him in the joy of his holy Passover. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.